Chapter 8. Sweet Virginia. A few days after this, Virginia and the Duke went out horseback riding. She tore her hat so badly in getting through a bush that, on their return home, she made up her mind to go up by the back staircase so as not to be seen. As she was running past the tapestry room, the door of which happened to be open, she thought she saw someone inside. Thinking it was her mother's maid, who sometimes used to bring her work there, she looked in to ask her to mend her hat. To her great surprise, however, it was the Canterville ghost himself. He was sitting by the window, watching the red and yellow leaves fall from the trees and dance in the wind. His head was leaning on his hand. His whole attitude was one of extreme depression. Indeed, he looked so sad that Sweet Virginia was filled with pity, so she tried to comfort him, although her first idea had been to run away and lock herself in her room. So light were her footsteps, and so deep his sadness, that he was not aware of her presence until she spoke to him. "I am sorry for you," she said, "but my brothers are going back to school tomorrow. If you behave yourself, no one will annoy you."
"It is silly to ask me to behave myself," he answered, looking around in surprise at the pretty young girl who had been so brave as to talk to him. "I must rattle my chains. I must groan through walls. I must walk about at night, if that is what you mean. It is my only reason for existing."
"It is no reason at all for existing, and you know you have been very bad. Mrs. Umney told us that you killed your wife. She told us on the first day we arrived."
"Well, I quite admit it," said the ghost, "but it was purely a family matter. It concerned no one else."
"It is very wrong to kill anyone," said Virginia. She, at times, had a sweet and innocent side to her.
"Oh, I hate the cheap severity of ideals. You know nothing. My wife was very plain. She never had my clothing properly washed, and she knew nothing about how to cook. Why, once I shot a deer in Hoagley Woods. He was beautiful. And do you know how she had sent it to table? It doesn't matter now. It doesn't matter because it is all over. But still, I don't think it was very nice of her brothers to starve me to death, even though I did kill her."
"Starve you to death? Oh, Mr. Ghost, I mean Sir Simon, do you want something to eat? I have a sandwich in my bag. Would you like it?"
"No, thank you. I never eat anything now. But it is very kind of you all the same. You are much nicer than the rest of your horrible, rude, mean, dishonest family."
"Stop," cried Virginia, stamping her foot. "It is you who are rude, horrible, and mean. And as for dishonesty, you know you stole the paints out of my box to try and fix up that ridiculous bloodstain in the library. First, you took all my reds, including the bright red, and I couldn't do any more sunsets. Then you took the green and the yellow. Finally, I had nothing left but blue and white. The only paintings I could do were of moonlight scenes, and those, you know, are always depressing to look at. Neither are they easy to paint. I never told on you, even though I was very much annoyed. And it was most ridiculous, the whole thing, for whoever heard of green blood?"
"Well, really," said the ghost, a little ashamed, "what was I to do? It is a very difficult thing to get real blood nowadays, and as your brother began it all, I certainly saw no reason why I should not have your paints. As for color, that is always a matter of taste. The Cantervilles have blue blood, for instance. It is the very bluest in England. But I know you Americans don't care for things of this kind."
"You know nothing about it, and the best thing you can do is to emigrate and improve your mind. My father will be only too happy to give you a free passage. And though there is a heavy duty on spirits of every kind, there will be no difficulty in the custom house, as the officers are all Democrats. Once in New York, you are sure to be a great success. I know lots of people there who would give $100,000 to have a grandfather, and I'm sure they would pay much more than that to have a family ghost."
I don't think I should like America.
I suppose because we have no ruins, said Virginia.
No ruins! Exclaimed the ghost.
Good evening. I will go and ask Papa to get the twins an extra week's holiday.
Please don't go, Miss Virginia, cried the ghost. I am so lonely and so unhappy. I really don't know what to do. I want to go to sleep, and I cannot.
That's quite strange. You just have to go to bed and blow out the candle. It is very difficult sometimes to keep awake, especially at church. But there is no difficulty at all about sleeping. Why, even babies know how to do that, and they are not very clever.
I have not slept for 300 years, he said sadly.
At that, Virginia's beautiful blue eyes opened in wonder.
For 300 years I have not slept, and I am so tired, he added.
Virginia grew quite serious. Her little lips trembled like rose leaves. She came toward him and, sitting down at his side, looked up into his old, withered face.
Poor, poor ghost, she whispered. Do you have no place where you can sleep?
Far away beyond the woods, he answered in a low, dreamy voice, there is a little garden. There the grass grows long and deep. The great white stars of the hemlock flower bloom. There a bird sings all night long. All night long he sings. And the cold crystal moon looks down. It is so peaceful. A giant tree spreads out its arms over the sleepers.
Virginia's eyes grew wet with tears, and she hid her face in her hands.
You mean the Garden of Death? She whispered.
Yes, death. Death must be so beautiful, to lie in the soft brown earth, with the grasses waving above one's head, and listen to silence. To have no yesterday and no tomorrow, to forget time, to forget life, to be at peace. You can help me. You can open the doors of death for me. You can help because love is always with you, and love is stronger than death.
Virginia trembled. She was scared. For a few moments, there was silence. She felt as if she was in a terrible dream. Then the ghost spoke again, and his voice sounded like the sighing of the wind.
Have you ever read the old saying on the library window?
Oh, often, cried the girl, looking up. I know it quite well. It is painted in strange black letters and is difficult to read. There are only 6 lines, she continued.
When a golden girl can win prayer from out the lips of sin, when the empty almond bears and a little child gives away its tears, then shall all the house be still and peace come to Canterville.
But I don't know what they mean.
They mean, he said sadly, that you must cry with me for my sins because I have no tears. You must pray with me for my soul because I have no faith. And then, if you have always been sweet and good and gentle, the angel of death will have mercy on me. You will see fearful shapes in darkness, and voices will whisper in your ear, but they will not harm you. They cannot harm a pure child. For against the purity of a child, the powers of hell cannot win.
Virginia made no answer. The ghost looked down at her golden head, waiting for her answer and hoping. Suddenly she stood up. She was very pale, and she had a strange light in her eyes.
I am not afraid, she said, and I will ask the angel to have mercy on you.
He rose from his seat with a faint cry of joy, and he took her hand into his and kissed it with an old-fashioned grace. His fingers were as cold as ice, and his lips burned like fire. But Virginia did not hesitate. She went with him across the dark room. The faded green tapestry was covered in little hunting men. They blew their horns at her, and they waved their tiny little hands for her to go back.
Go back, little Virginia, they cried. Go back.
But the ghost held her hand more tightly, and she shut her eyes against them. Horrible animals with lizard tails and big eyes looked at her from on top of the chimney. They whispered, "Beware, little Virginia, beware! We may never see you again." But the ghost just moved more quickly, and Virginia did not listen. When they reached the end of the room, he stopped. Then he said some words she could not understand. She opened her eyes and saw the wall slowly fading away like a fog. In front of her was a big black opening. A bitter cold wind swept around them, and she felt something pulling at her dress.
"Quick, quick," cried the ghost, "or it will be too late."
In a moment, the secret door had closed behind them, and the tapestry room was empty.